With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
You're listening to the Tennis.com podcast, and here's your host, Ed McGrogan.
Hey guys, Tennis.com podcast here. The Shanghai Masters is going to be the focus of our discussion today. I'm Ed McGrogan here with Pete Bodo and Steve Tigner. This is a tournament, this is a field that the WTA would kill to see based on what's happened over there with pullouts, withdrawals. Nobody's going to be left for the final, the tour championships over on that side.
Nobody's going to be left for Bali, never mind the final.
No one's left for anywhere. But right here in the ATP, there's this is still during the tour season, and this event, top to bottom, the first seed through the 16th seed, they're the first ranked player through the 16th player in the world. So everybody's in this, and we've gotten through a day or so of matches where it parses down into the 32 just about, so we know who the big seeds who got a bye in the opening round will play. So just overall, there's actually some pretty interesting first-round matches, if you will, for guys like Nadal, Djokovic, Federer. Nadal gets Wawrinka, Djokovic, Lubicic, Federer, Isner. There's a lot of interesting matches right off the bat, and I guess I'll start with just that. Is there anything that might see a cause for upset right away, or just overall the prospect of this term for the top players? A lot of them are coming into this with a lot of good momentum. Nadal and Djokovic won last week. Does that seem to carry over this week? It's going to be the same old as we've seen the past few weeks here in Asia?
Well, the big question mark, I think, in my mind is Federer, because he hasn't played. He said he's been training hard, so he would be very much in his best interest to make a good late-season push. I mean, let's face it, he more or less owns the indoor season, or has owned, at least he owns indoor hard-court events when he's in the mode to play him, and when he's competitive, he's won a championship a bunch of times and stuff. So, this is his chance to really make up for, what amounts to quite a bit of lost ground throughout the year. So he should come out firing on all cylinders, you would think. He's practiced, he's primed, he says he's eager to play. I think he's going to have his hands full with John Isner, because, we saw what Isner did last week. We saw him in his first match. It gets through, three wild sets, wins in a tiebreaker. Once again, it's all about the tiebreakers and all about the aces and other guys, even more than being afraid of his serve, other guys wondering, what's going to happen if they get broken. That, just becomes a big factor. I don't think this is a very easy match for Federer to have to play first time out after a long layoff. What do you think, Steve?
Yeah, well, no, I agree. Isner is the guy you don't want to see, that Federer doesn't want to see in the first round. Fortunately for him, Isner had to save 7 match points in that tournament he's played. He played last week as well, so he's bound to be a little tired. He gets tired. Which is not surprising for a big guy. Federer just hasn't, he hasn't played since the U.S. Open. He didn't really get a chance to work with Paul Anacone much, which maybe that's fine. He doesn't have a lot of new thoughts going through his head. Paul was sick, apparently. They didn't really get a chance to work too much, though. I think Paul is there with him. I guess another question mark is Nadal. He sort of has the opposite situation as Federer. He's played a lot. He played the last 2 weeks straight. He normally doesn't play. Maybe in the clay court season he'll play this much, but this isn't typical for him. He also plays a guy, Wawrinka, who has made some noise this year. And he's a guy I've always felt like he's going to beat Nadal one of these days. It might not be this time, but that's also a pretty tough match to start.
Wawrinka, yeah, especially on a harder court like this. This is where you could see, in this time of year in the fall, you do tend to see some of the bigger names going down. But I agree that Wawrinka could possibly give Nadal trouble. I don't suspect it will be this week. I think Nadal is just on a good tear right now. Federer, I think we always talk about whether the layoffs help him or hurt him. He always he's a guy who, after each slam, aside from the French Open, because Wimbledon's so close to that, usually takes about a month-long hiatus, and this is pretty much the same case as coming in from the U.S. Open.
Well, I'll tell you, he's coming back to Minefield. If you look at that draw, he's got, you know, so he's got Isner in his first match. Then, you know, then he gets maybe a Cilic, who, you know, hasn't played that great, but the guy can definitely play on his surface. Then he's looking at, you know, a David Ferrer, possibly a Robin Soderling. Those two guys, of course, he can only play one of those two guys because they'll play each other first. And you even got Tipsarevic, who's really played very well and been really inspired by his Davis Cup, I think. So, I mean, I think it's a very, very tough draw for Roger Federer.
What's more in general, besides the draw breakdown, one thing I always think about at this point of the season, what we've seen since the U.S. Open, is I'm still kind of shocked at how the stock of Novak Djokovic has just escalated from a guy who before the Open started, he was really sort of a player who had his seeding based on all his semifinals, and he was getting there, and that's kind of his plateau. And in the past few months, Djokovic has looked exactly like a top two player should be looking. He's winning pretty much everything he can. The only person he lost to recently is Nadal. Last week, him and Nadal won tournaments. And Djokovic is just—it's looking like this year, sort of like last year. He won Shanghai last year. This could be, if he's looking for a way to get into and reassert himself back in 2011 as the guy who's going to be at the top all year, challenging even Nadal, it would be a nice way to get things going here with him.
Yeah, the Open was a big change for him. He'd seemed like he was, like you said, plateaued, and he was pretty much out the door in the first round. Then 2 weeks later, he's almost winning the tournament, and he's back to being the Djokovic of three years ago. But he had a great fall last year as well. He won in Basel. He did well in Paris. So I guess that aspect isn't surprising. I would hesitate to say that he's going to continue so consistently. His history is he will have a bad match. He will have a match where it just goes, you know, it goes wrong for him. And he just played in Beijing. You just played a Monday final and he won there. So I think this is a tough draw. This is a tough tournament for him. The other guy sort of look at who does well in the fall, Nikolai Davidenko. He won the World Tour final last year. He's in the quarter with Nadal, which Davidenko hasn't played well. He had a wrist injury earlier in the year. He's sort of coming back now. If those two play in the quarters, that's a pretty good match. Davidenko has done well against Nadal on hard courts in the past, so that has the potential for an upset.
Yeah, and Davidenko, he won Shanghai last year. Is that I think I misspoke there. It was he won Shanghai last year, not Djokovic. But working at one last court that we haven't touched on, I wanted to make mention of a guy who is back after a little bit of a layoff. Is Joe Tsonga, who, Steve, you actually wrote about that. I don't know if it was just
Andy Murray really is top liver, huh?
Yeah, I guess so.
Don't let me interrupt.
Yeah, well, it's Andy hasn't shown us. He looked great in Canada, but since then it's been kind of the reverting to the Andy that a lot of us haven't enjoyed seeing. But Tsonga is a guy who, I don't know if it was just intuition or just kind of a throw in the dart, but you thought that he might do well this week in Shanghai, Steve, and I don't know if there's any particular reason for that, or you think this is kind of a cushy draw for him. Just overall, what strikes you about Tsonga coming back off a little bit of a layoff that you could see if he's just a fall type of player? What about him?
He is a fall player. He won in Paris a couple of years ago, and he tends to do pretty well in these types of tournaments. And he hasn't played. He hasn't played that much. He is fresh. The reason I picked him in that quarter is that nobody else really sticks out as dominant. Murray looked good going into the Open, and now he seems to be sort of adrift. We thought it was a good thing that he didn't have a coach. He seemed to be freer, and now suddenly, you know, he loses a few matches, and it seems like he's adrift without a coach, and he needs a coach. But we'll see. We'll see. He's had a bad, you know, last month or so. So I think there's an opening there for a guy like Tsonga who you know, he's coming in now almost like a new season for him.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure that Tsonga gets by. You know, those first couple of matches, he's got potentially Sam Querrey if he beats Michael Barrer, which I think could be a tough match. You know, Querrey's another guy who could really use, especially with Isner playing reasonably well. You know, these two guys kind of keep an eye on each other, and, you know, Querrey could have a good tournament. And down at the bottom, Mikhail Yuzhny, he's played pretty well lately. I kind of like Yuzhny in a Yuzhny Tsonga matchup. You know, you got two guys who like to go for their shots, you know, who are, it's not a matter of Tsonga, you know, being able to attack and smother a guy who's going to be back at the baseline, like, say, a Ferrer type player. And I think Yuzhny could give him, you know, could give him a handful. So, you know, it doesn't leap out at you as tough matches for Tsonga, but in a sneaky way they could be.
Pete, let's close with a thought for the women's tour at this point. This week was supposed to be Serena Williams was coming back, and just as quickly as she said she was coming back, she said, no, I'm not going to come back. The injury is worsened or it's just not healing properly. And besides Serena, you have a big list of players who pretty much shut down for the year. And even the players who haven't officially said it, like Kim Clijsters is in question too. Your thoughts on kind of the state at this point, WTA, it's like a repeating thing seems to happen year after year, but this year, another just nobody's there, it seems like, anymore.
Well, there's your Larry Scott legacy, you know, the roadmap and the Doha championships. You know, it's kind of a pity. You know, actually, you can't blame Scott. I mean, a roadmap's not a bad idea on paper, but like a lot of other things, all these things are good ideas on paper, but it just takes people who are willing to actually do what they got to do to help make it work. And now, there's an injury factor, no question about that. So, but it's a little bit, you know, it just gets to the point you wonder when the women are going to have a championships where everybody's, you know, present, accounted for, ready to play, and eager to win. You know, you need that. I mean, granted, you've got, you know, some of those other top 10 players like the Azarenkas of this world who, you know, who probably will go, and Yankovic, she's got a lot to win there, a lot to gain. So, you know, they could end up putting on a good tournament, but it really is pretty disappointing that you're looking at really probably 8 of the top 20, you know, being finished for the year already. And this was supposed to be, you know, this new regimen with the off season, the roadmap, you know, and, you know, it's just really discouraging, I think.
Yeah. Steve, you have some thoughts there on that? Yeah, go ahead.
It's tough to know what the reason is. I mean, the roadmap was made so they would have fewer tournaments and fewer injuries, and they, you know, they successfully implemented that, but then the injuries are still just as bad. I think either the modern women's game is too hard on these women's bodies, or I think more likely is that WTA just hasn't been able to create a tour outside of the slams the way the men have, a series of tournaments that the women are really, top women really are, want to win or feel like they have to show up for, like the Masters Series. The roadmap hasn't been that. The WTA hasn't succeeded in motivating these women to play, to be ready for anything after the Grand Slams.
Yeah, like you said in the past, the Masters Series is one of the ATP's best success stories, I'd say. We'll touch back on Shanghai later in the week when the field is settled down to the final eight, final four. We'll be back before this week is out. Thanks again for listening to the Tennis.com podcast with Pete Bodo, Steve Tigner, and Ed McGrogan.
How do you know?
You've been enjoying Tennis.com's weekly podcast. Thanks for listening. For all the latest news and events, head over to Tennis.com.